Wonder vans on the mountains, wonder vans on the sea, wonder vans made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, praise Yahweh. Good to have you in here. This is Pastor Buddy with the Shepherd's Call, and we got Brother Pard sitting in with us tonight from the great state of Illinois. Pard, welcome in here tonight, brother.
Thank you, Pastor Buddy. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, Pard, we've been talking about the hidden word meanings. A lot of people don't never study the Strong. They just take the King James Bible and run with it, and they've used it so long, they feel comfortable with it. But in some instances, as you well know, Pard, there's a lot of things that are not basically as they seem in the Strong's Concordance. It does change some of the word features, and we're going to talk about some of these tonight, and we did a series, a 5-point series, on the racial miscegenation covenants, breaking and disavowing and changing things that are meant to forever be stationary, not change. You know, the Bible says Yahweh doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. And we do believe that the Strong's Concordance, as in some instances, it fails, I believe, to convey the message of the truth across. But in general terms, people are much better off using the Strong's Concordance as their guide to look into some of the word meanings, such as miscegenation and manser and stranger and things of this nature. A lot of people can get confused as far as trying to bring the King James into understanding. It's almost impossible the way it's worded in some cases. For instance, we gave the illustration of lay, L-A-Y, and then eat, E-A-T. Part, as you very well know, in the scriptures, with the meanings of the word eat, E-A-T, that there was a sexual appetite aroused by Satan as he deceived the woman. The Bible says beguile. That word beguile is, has sexual overtones to it. That that he might have taken her advantage of her being naive and weak and caught her without Adam to help her. Adam wasn't deceived, but the woman being deceived. So basically that word there in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, if you'll just turn into the expression, that's 398 in the Strong's Concordance, if you'll turn and look at that, and look at some of the definitions that could have been put where eat is used as the term, the proper term. Look at some of the others. For instance, if you get down to the 13th expression, it's strange that it's last. Maybe the last should be first and the first should be last. That's what the Bible says, part. Maybe that, that the translators, maybe they purposely, I don't know that they would, I hope they wouldn't, to try to deceive people, but it's less embarrassing to try to explain the word eat from a tree, and hear that when the angels are depicted, that there are trees in the garden. Now these trees talk, and they move about, and they're capable of bringing seeds, we know that. And it's strange that that they try to make us believe that these trees was weren't walking around, that they were just good for food, and that it had no sexual connotation, and where we use the expression of lay there in the 13th expression of the word eat is also, they could have used this word. It would have been proper. It wouldn't have been out of place. I believe that it would have been better off. People would have had a better understanding for it in the very beginning if they would have used the 13th expression as first as opposed to using it last as one of the definitions of eat or the word ekal. It is exactly like it says. And if you would change that verse to the expression of the 13th expression, you would, instead of saying she ate from the tree, the expression would be she lay with the tree. Now, who was that tree? Well, that was the tree of good and evil. Well, who was he? It wasn't Yahweh. Yahweh's only good. Everything he made was good. But somebody come and clouded the picture and done some ghastly things for it, if you were to interpret it correctly. And that's why we're into the Word. Tonight we're going to go into a little bit different in the meanings. We're going to move over to the name. And part, I want you to comment as much as you feel like you want to and help me to express this in such a way that the name, and people say, well, what's in a name? Well, life's in a name. Your identity is in a name. Nobody would know who anybody is if we didn't have names. And our names are purposed, and our names are wrote on the Lamb's book, whatever name that he wrote on that Lamb's book. And part, don't the Bible say that the whole family in heaven and earth is in that name? That's right, Pastor Buddy. Well, if the whole family in heaven and earth is in that name, then names mean something. And it's up to us. The Bible says there's a name that seems right, or a way that seems right. And, you know, let's look at some of the names and examine them and see how far they reach out into truth. Well, we've got the name Jehovah. Is Jehovah the proper name that should have been placed in the Old Testament by the 8th century folks that were translating, should Jehovah been added to the text? And the answer by most of the Bible scholars, pretty near all of them right now, they acknowledge that Jehovah never was his name, that he had another name. And yet they put Jehovah in as a substitute. It seems like part that nobody won't, don't want the right name on their salvational deed, but when it comes to a land deed, you wouldn't dare put a false name or a fake name. You want the real deal on there, don't you?
That's exactly right.
And if you're going to inherit the promise, you can't inherit out of a name, can you? Well, how can the whole family in heaven and earth be in one name by using half a dozen others? Oh, he's got many names. Well, in other words, tomorrow it's Hank, and next day it's Jim, and next day it's Grover, and it could get to where it might be Jesus. You know, we got a lot of that going on today, and what about the name Jesus? Park, do you think that's a proper name in the New Testament?
No, I don't. The way it was in the past, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have a J. They just came in with a J about 500 years ago. So how could his name have been Jesus back then? It was only one name. Our Heavenly Father's name was Yahweh.
Well, you know, you just added something. Just some outstanding truth that people take for granted that's proper. We know that Jesus is not even 500 years old. Couldn't have been Jesus. Now, if it gets close, let's say we're pitching horseshoes here. Well, are we pitching horseshoes to get to heaven, or are we telling the truth to get to heaven? Which one do we use?
I want the truth. There's only one place I want to be, and that's in paradise.
Amen. And the truth is, his name is not Jesus. His name is not Jesus. You see, Pard, you know this, and most of our listeners that listen to Pastor Buddy know that I've got some people still don't believe me. And they're going to take a chance on that name that's not even 500 years old, and then they'll use this modified term of Jesus. Now, let's look at Jesus for just a moment. The Greek gods, the ancient pagan Greek gods. Well, now, Paul ran into these guys. In the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, he ran into some pretty convinced people that Zeus was God. And when he done the miracle there, the people came out. Once Paul shook the snake off and it done no harm and he didn't fall down dead, well, they were ready to sacrifice to him. And the Bible says that they were fixing to sacrifice to their god Zeus. And Paul forbade the people from ever doing that. He said, do not, whatever you do, do not sacrifice to Zeus or Jupiter. Run your word search and see what Jupiter is. He is the pagan deity, the planet, Jupiter, in the heaven in honor of Zeus. And so here we've got people today still using the word Zeus in an exchange form of Jesus. Now, Pard, you know this, there is no name under heaven whereby that we can be saved that starts with a J. I'm sorry. That hurts. It hurts me. Hurts you, I know. We're honest. Wouldn't you rather use Jesus and fit in with the crowd? And, you know, I mean, I've done pretty good when I was deceived. It's when Yahweh stopped me dead in my tracks and told me that the name Jesus wasn't 500 years ago. I need to go look at it and see what it really was. And when I went, I was like the blind man went, wash, I come seeing. I got washed in that name part, and I know you have, and you start seeing things a little bit different. You start thinking a little bit different. And then everybody thinks that you're the odd man out, and you're the peculiar person, and you are, because you don't run to the same excess of rioting and banqueting, attending all these meetings in this name that they worship as Jesus. Now, I know that this is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. Please don't. I don't mean no offense. I just want you to take a good, fresh look that the name of Jesus cannot be the saving name. Neither can Jehovah. Neither can Word. You know, we got some people running around and hollering that. And that ain't even a name. That's an expression of a verb. Word, action. He spoke His Word into existence. In the beginning was the Word. Didn't say in the beginning His name was Word. The Word is an action form. God is a spirit. Yahweh. He's a spirit. But when He came in, they gave Him a name, and Matthew 1:21 said, it did say it was Word. Call it Word. It says in the 21st verse of Matthew, it gives five letters, J-E-S-U-S. Let's go back and see by the reckoning. Now, part, you and I and a few of the brethren here this evening were having a little Bible study and talking about it. Can you go to any source, encyclopedia, concordance, Bible, don't care what version, can you go in there and figure out that when Pilate, evidently everybody's lost their language, all of a sudden, you know when the Messiah was crucified and they hung a superscription, a name, subscribed it to the one that was hanging on a tree, did they not write His name in three different languages? Yes, they did. All right. If the name was written in three different languages, number one, we find that His name was written in Hebrew, correct?
Correct.
That is the original language. Now, to show you that the original name of the Creator didn't change when they wrote His name in Greek. And neither did it change when they wrote His name in Latin. So, now let's back up here. Pilate said, after that the Jews came to him and said, hey, what'd you put that name up there in three different languages? Don't write that He said He was, but say that He said He was. Well, what did Pilate say? Well, I've got it up there in three languages, and what I've written, I've written. Let's let it stand. Now, question. Why is it, Par, that when these movies, for instance, I'll give you an example to remind you. Let's take the Mel Gibson movie. Did you see the name of Yahweh up there in Hebrew?
No.
It's not there, is it?
No.
Did you see the name of Yahweh there in Greek?
No.
You did make out an obscure letter in Latin. Rex, king. He said he was a king.
Right.
Well, you see that Rex there, you can make that out, can't you? I didn't have no trouble seeing Rex up there. I looked real close to see if they would dare put his name up in original form, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Now we see down at the bottom they got it up in English, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, long after the fact, and we know that that's not proper because all the religions around the world in Christianity use Jesus. Is that correct? Do you know of any other name they use?
No, I don't.
It's either Jesus and Jehovah for God. Now, since that we've been on the radio for the last 10 or 15 years, part, there now a lot more people are using, praise Yahweh, and I'm so thankful for this, and I feel like that we're part of it, causing people to think and to check it out. We've got a track here, part. The word is hallelujah, and we're going to talk about another hidden meaning in the word here, and we're going to get in that just a moment here in the second half. We're going to save it, but right now we're going to mention it, that the word hallelujah, it's not hallelujah or hallelujah or hallelujah Jehovah. It's hallelujah. It's the highest form of praise dedicated to someone with the name Yah. Now, who is that?
It's our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Now, question. If the Heavenly Father is Yah, praising by His name Yah, hallelujah, and so we go back into the original Tetragrammaton. We've told people this for many years, what the Tetragrammaton is, but let's explain it just a little bit for the folks here tonight, and let them make sure that they know what we're doing by saying the Tetragrammaton. Now, the Tetragrammaton is four letters. Josephus said they were vowels, and they were written in the Hebrew language. Now, the question is, if Yahweh, in short poetic form, Yahweh in the vowel form, if His name is in the Scriptures 8,823 times approximately, over 1,000 times in the Bible, that His name was replaced, a substitute. Now, why would they want to do that part unless it is a conspiracy to hide His name?
That's right. Get people brain dead.
So amen.
They would use false titles like Lord and God.
Lord and God is a good example. Amen. Lord, L-O-R-D. Now, some of these people have said that they changed it from Lord to Word, W-O-R-D. Well, we know that don't make a lick of sense. That is basically about as stupid as you can get. I'm really, some people that use this have got good intentions, and we're not trying to belittle anybody that does. But notice this. People are deceived every day, and take heed that you be not deceived. In the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, Yahweh said that they would come spirit in the last day to persuade people from the faith. And so we've had a lot of people that used to use the name of Yahweh, proven 823 times. In the Old Testament, His name would be Yahweh. Almost 7,000 times that you could say approximately, His name was Yahweh. It written in the original Hebrew language. Not one word did it say His name was Word. Not one time did it say His name was Jehovah. And not one time did it say His name was Jesus. These are erroneous names. And the original content of the name that was supposed to have been written by Pilate, he had the ability to do so. I'm sure that he had language experts that said, well, what do y'all call that Hebrew God? Well, His name is Yahweh. Okay, well, how does the phonics, how do you sound that? Yod, he, vah, he. Or if you speed it up like they do Jesus. If you slow Jesus down, you know what's going to happen, Bart? You're going to run into some problems with the sound. Because it's a J, you say, well, the J silent. No, it's not. The J stands for something. In this case, it stands for G. Well, it's trying to cover the vowel sound of E-A, Zeus. Zeus, E-A, Zeus. Slow it down, E-A, Zeus. Now, what they done, when Constantine gave them the authority to change the name, and obscure it and hide it in the New Testament as well as the Old. Not only did they take the name of Jehovah and put it in, they took out the name of Yahweh, YHWH, in order to do so. Well, they've done the same thing in the New Testament, only they made him a little J. He's the Son now. He's not big Jehovah, he's little Jehovah. But his name is not Jehovah. That's reserved for the Father. His name is Jesus. He's the little J as opposed to the big J. Well, you know that's absurd. You know that's rotten. You know that's false doctrine. That's pretending. Jehovah witnesses will die and go to hell pretending his name is Jehovah. And we're not playing let's pretend here. We're in a battle for our soul. And Satan is doing his best to take your soul, part, my soul, and anybody else he can deceive for the lack of knowledge. So anybody that uses Jehovah is a lack of knowledge. Anybody that uses Jesus is a lack of knowledge. Anybody that would use any other name except the name that's recorded almost 7,000 times, 6,823 times, to be exact. I went through the Bible, and every time that there was a capital letter to Lord, as you said a while ago, it's a configuration to change, to alter, to take away, to make less impact. And that's why when you get hot on these preachers' tails, they'll say, oh, it don't matter. He's got many names. Well, that's the first big lie out of the mouth that they let roll out when you ask them how many they've got. And they can't say that they've got many names, but they've got many attributes, that be John the banker or John the doctor. I mean, they'll tie them titles. We're not talking about titles here. Just like the Bible says, the Son said in John 5:43, what did he say for it? He said, I am. That's the causative verb to be in the English language written in the, and it stays them. They didn't alter that none. He said, I am come in my Father's name. Now question. If his Father's name, 6,823 times, was Yahweh, what was the Son's name?
It'd be Yahweh too.
Perfect. Now, we've got these that metamorphically change the name of the Father into Jehovah and the name of the Son into Jesus and deny the original name that was in there. Not names. I had a fellow one time that, and it was pretty close. And I'll show you how you can get close and still miss the mark. He comes to debate me on the radio about why that I was failing to use the name Yahshua. He said, now the name Yahshua is very important. Pastor Buddy don't even recognize it. We ought to be using it because that's the Son's name. And the Father's name is Yahweh. So, we had a debate. We set the debate up. I came in and sat down. He was up first. He took about an hour and a half reading scriptures and trying to convince me that the Son's name was Yahshua and the Father's name, of course, he acknowledged to be Yahweh. And then he sat down in disgust because I wasn't paying no attention to him. At least he said so. I was sitting over and I had my strong concordance, my Bible underneath, had a pad, and I wrote down every scripture he brought without ever looking at it. I never even glanced up at him. And I knew that was going to psychologically bother him because when you're debating with somebody, you want somebody to listen to you so that you can persuade them that you're right. Well, I was listening, but I wasn't looking. And to show you that people judge you and say that you're not listening when you are, when somebody can look at you and be sitting there half asleep and never remember a word or scripture you ever brought. So when he sat down, he said, well, I might as well sit down. He said, Pastor Buddy's not listening to me no way. He said, ain't no use me continuing on. He said, I can give him another 100 scriptures. He said, well, they're no good. He ain't listening. So I just took my time, waited for him to be seated in back in the audience. He went back and sat down. I got up and I said, I'm sorry that I've offended you, brother. He said, well, you have. He said, you didn't listen to anything I said. I said, well, if you don't think I have, let me wager you and we'll put this offering here that we're going to wager whoever who wins and whoever who loses. I said, we'll donate it to the church treasury here. Let me bet you $100 that I listened to everything you said. And let me make another wager. I guarantee you that I can bring every scripture you brought, even those that you had wrote down on your pad, and the ones that you said verbatim when you were debating. I said, let me make a wager that I've got every one of them wrote down right here on this pad and I can get up and read them. He said, you have? I said, yeah. He said, well, you didn't pay no attention to me. You weren't looking at me. I said, well, I was busy writing down. I was listening. I said, sometimes your eyes can distract you. And I said, my eyes didn't distract me. My ears didn't deceive me. I wrote down the scriptures. I said, I only got one question to ask you, and that's this. You say, in your argument, in the totality of your argument, you're saying that Yahshua is the Son, and Yahweh is the Father. Is that correct? He said, that's it. I said, well, which one of them names has got salvation? Why? He said, Yahshua. He said, that's what he says about that. I said, do you know what the word Yahshua means? Well, he said, what are you getting at? I said, do you really know what it means? Same thing as hallelujah. He said, well, yeah. He said, Yahshua means Yahweh salvation. I said, which one did you say had salvation? He said, he caught what I was saying. He said, get up, honey, let's go. I told you we couldn't persuade him. I said, wait a minute here. Now, let me back this up again and run it by you again. You say that Yahshua's got salvation. Yahweh ain't got none. But the word Yahshua means Yahweh is salvation. I said, if it ain't the same name, we got some problems here. And he walked out and he never answered my question. He ain't been back since, and I dare that he ever will. Why? Because the name Yahweh is the only name in the world, the universe, or anywhere else that I know of, according to the Holy Scriptures, that's got salvation. If there's a name that's got salvation somewhere else, then there's two names. And then I said, if there's two names, you can have that'll divide your opinion. Some would be for one name, some would be for the other. I said, the Bible says Yahweh, and the word Yahshua means Yahweh is salvation. You ought to take it that the emphasis is not on Yahshua, it's on Yahweh. Now let me give you another little education point here, brother, as he was going out the door, you know. I mean, boy, he slapped his hat down over his ears, and he wanted to quit hearing and get out as soon as he could. You see, they run from me when they ain't got nothing to stand on, and that they're arguing in vain. The Bible said, in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. If there was another name under heaven, I'd want to know what it is. Well, in Acts 4:11 and 12, it says in the King James Bible, which is grossly and wrongly translated, they put the name Jesus in there in place of Yahshua or Yahweh, which means Yahweh is salvation. So they give us a substitute. And I advise people, and this is what I advise for you that's listening up on the late show tonight, and we're so thankful that you've set up to listen to us, think about this. If Yahshua means Yahweh is salvation, and ain't no salvation but in one name, what name would you want to be baptized in? Everyone that I've ever asked that question would give me a resounding Yahweh. That's the only name that's got salvation. That can be proven over 7,000 times. In the Old Testament alone, we have approximately 7,000 times that they rendered his name useless, took it out, and put Lord and God in. Now, part, you know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. It says this. There are many lords, and there are many gods. Now, when people are reading the Bible, pray tell me. When they say, and the Lord said this, and the Lord said that, and God said this, and God said, which God are they talking about? What's his name? God ain't a name, it's a title. Lord ain't a name, it's a title. So, Part, how could this get any plainer and condense it down to simplicity? How could it get any more simple than telling the people of the earth, and this is my message, and will be to die, repent, every one of you. and be baptized in the name of Yahweh, the only name that's got salvation, for the remission of sins. That means moving in a pardon. And the only name that's worthy to call on, it's not Lord, it's not God, it's not Jehovah, it's not Jesus, and it certainly ain't Word. What name is it?
It's Yahweh.
Amen.
And, so, if you don't seek to find the truth, because the truth will set you free, you're going to be deceived and you won't make the grade.
Well, Pard, you know, we've got free tracks that we send out across the country to a lot of people here and there. And that track is the Hallelujah track. It's one of the best tracks that I believe packed full of truth. And its purpose is to let you in on who Yah is. When Christians get happy, or, you know, you've heard this, you've been a church member, just like I have. You sat in a church worshiping Jesus and God and Lord, and you thought you had it all figured out. And so did I.
For 55 years.
For 55 years, and me for 48. So, and you pretty well hit the same ballpark about maturity, don't we?
Yes, and after I found the truth, I felt pretty stupid that I'd been deceived so long.
Well, I did too. And I'm going to assure you that the name Jesus, the name Jehovah, the name Word, or the name Lord, or the name God, is none of His name. It's not included in His name. They're pagan. They are substitutes. And as long as we use these substitutes, I hate to say this, say, oh, it don't really matter, Pastor Buddy. It don't really matter what name you use. God knows your heart. See, when you pull it right down and make them acknowledge that they have to be baptized in the name for the remission of sins, which is what the Bible says. When I heard this, it hurt me. What do you mean? I was sort of like the old guys in Syria, you know, that wanted to get washed up in his water. He said, just tell Elijah to Elijah said, come on down here to Muddy Jordan and get in this river. And he was offended. Why, my God. You think I'm gonna drive 250 miles on a donkey and cross cleaner rivers than what that old Jordan is over there? And what's so special about it? And the servant sort of said, well, you know, if he'd ask you to do something impossible, it'd be one thing for you to reject. But all he's asked you to come down and dip seven times in Jordan and go on home. Why don't you just go ahead and dip and maybe it'll clean you up. At the prophet's word. Now, if Elijah said it's all right for you to go out there, just go out and find you the nearest river near your home, go out and dip seven times. Because we know who Elijah served. When he went down there in Carmel, up on Mount Carmel, there he you know he repaired the altar. And what altar was he? It said the altar of Yahweh. The Hebrew word for Yahweh is the original name. It's not Word. It's not Jesus. It's not Jehovah. It's not Lord. And it's not God. How long do we have to preach to these poor, miserable, blind, wretched people that are trying to climb up some other way? It ain't going to happen.
It's very simple. You know, whenever somebody says, I believe in God, I say, which God? You know, Satan's a God, too. He's a God of this earth. They say, well, I believe in Jesus. I said, Jesus, you believe in the Son God they gave us? Well, there's a race of people that's been up to no good for years and years that's got so many people deceived, and until you find the truth and your eyes are open and you find Yahweh, you just won't make it. And paradise, in my mind, is beyond my wildest dreams, and I'm doing everything in my power to get there.
Well, you know, Park, it's undeniable that the name Jesus is spoken as Jesus. And the it wasn't Jesus in 1611. His name was not Jesus. And anybody that wants to prove this, just go get them a King James Bible. You say, well, I've got one, and it says Jesus. What you've got is a revised version. Go get the original. Word-for-word reprint that King James, who was nothing but a homosexual himself and perverted, and he put his name in the Bible. He wanted to get that in there. James. He changed it from Jacob, Yah, took out the name Yah, Jacob, Hebrew, and put in James in English. Well, we know that anybody dared to do that, don't care to take another man's name and put his own name in. That's basically what the priesthood done for. They took out Yahweh and put in Jesus. And who was the greatest competition in the mythical gods? Zeus was the principal sky god of the Greek Catholic Roman Church. And you know good and well that if they would dare to replace Yahweh with a substitute name and then sell it, because when they came in conquering the priesthood, they wanted to know, well, what's your God's name? He's awful powerful. What are we going to call him? And, you know, I can just see the priesthood of sniggering. We'll just call him Jesus. And really, literally, Bart, that's exactly what people begin to do. Jesus! 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 And then we got the English language. And notice how dramatically it changed the phonics of the name from Jesus. Now that's obvious, ain't it? That it's a pagan name. Jesus is a pagan name. But I guarantee you, for anybody that wants to check this out, get your pen and paper, I'll give you a word to search in the Strong's Concordance. Turn into the Greek rendering of Jesus. Take the name Jesus, look it up in the Strong's, and the number, the combination that will identify the word is Strong's number 2424. I dare you to open it up. I dare you to pronounce it like the Bible gives you the expression to pronounce it with. Here's what it says. In English, it says Jesus. Strong's number 2424, pronounced E-A Zeus. Well, now, something sounds rotten in Denmark to me, Bard. I don't want to get caught in no conspiracy. I don't want to get caught up in a falsehood. I want the real deal. I want the genuine. I want the original name. Don't throw Lord at me, because there's many of them. Don't throw God at me. There's many of them. Don't throw Jehovah at me. That's an erroneous name according to the people that wrote the Bible, the translators. They acknowledge it's erroneous. They shouldn't have put Jehovah in there. And I just hate to call them what they are, but they're liars. These Jehovah Witness preachers. Part, you can tell them what the Father's name is, and they'll acknowledge it. Yeah, we know it's Yahweh. But, does that sound like a goat? I know that says that, but, we've been saying it for years and years, and, you know, we've become a mighty organization, the Jehovah Witnesses, and we just love that name, and we've got songs praising it and sung to it, and we ain't going to change. We're just going to keep on calling him Jehovah. Just like the same silly Christians that call Jesus Jesus when they really phonic it down and slow it down, and when they run it by you so fast, and when they add the J, there was no J's in 1611, is that correct?
That's right.
No J's. If there's no J's in 1611, none in the Greek, none in the English, and none in the Hebrew, correct?
Exactly right.
Then if there was none in the Greek, none in the Hebrew, none in the Latin, or none in the any other language, because it hadn't been invented yet. Well, in 1611, they started putting cursive, that I, which was a substitute for the sound for sound, I and Ya, when they changed it over to the Greek I from the Hebrew Y. That's what Pilate wrote above the superscription. I, E, U, E was the way he wrote the name of Yahweh, which in Hebrew was YHWH. And then in the Latin, they took the W out and put in the V. And so we've got a Latin, Greek, and a Hebrew expression of the greatest name part, the salvational name. None other name given under heaven. How is it that people can deny this, turn away from it? Is it, does tradition mean so much to people part that they would rather go to hell than change?
I'm afraid so. They just can't seem to get their eyes open. You know, I witness people all the time, and they just look at me like I'm stupid. But, you know, life's about choice, and everybody has one. So, you know, if they don't care about the hereafter, why should I care about them? You know, I gave them a shot. And if you're not smart enough, you won't take the time to study. Because it's not easy. I mean, man, 55 years, I was taught one thing, and then all of a sudden, I hear something else, and I think, gee, man, where's these guys coming from? What kind of cult is this? But the more I listen, the more it started making sense, and I'm not that well educated, but I am smart enough to come out of the rain, and man, whenever it finally sunk in, I saw that I'd been deceived for so many years. And now I finally got the truth. It's in my forehead and in my heart forever.
You know, you mentioned forehead there, Bart. It might be a good closing thought to close on here, but our time is winding down here. Let's take in the book of Revelations, going over to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelations, and then over to the 21st book of Revelations. We find that the Father's name, was in the 144,000 that had gotten victory over the beast and was praising and honoring their Father. There's nothing mentioned of the different Son. If the Father and Son is not the same person part, we've got one God too many, because you can't serve two masters. So people are going to have to agree that when the Messiah told them in Matthew 28:19, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. Well, in Revelation 14, when he seen that great host, what name do you say again was in that forehead?
Yahweh.
The Father's name was in their forehead. Well, the Father's name, 6,823 times approximately, it's not Lord, it's not God, it's not Word, it's not Jesus, it's not Jehovah. We've done disproved all that, and we will take on any comers that wants to debate this to go back to the original scriptures and debate it in the original scriptures and see how that they sound his name word for word, the Tetragrammaton, which is the holy four Hebrew letters that was converted into Greek, I-E-U-E, in the Septuagint. We've got it. It was written before Christ with the name of Yahweh in the Septuagint as I-E-U-E. Earlier than that, it was YHWH. In other words, the Hebrew letters of Yod Heh Vav Heh was in the Septuagint. So they evolved it down correctly. But here in 1702, we have a complete distortion of the name and its truth and its sounding and its phonics. We need to come out of her, my people, because they, the whore out there, want you to get in the bed with her and commit fornication and adultery and leave Yahweh and cling to other names. And Pard, you know good and well that that is sure suicide.
Well, Pastor, you know, in the book it says the lying scribes, and most people would rather believe a lie than the truth. And here we are all back to one thing, choice. So, you know, I'm hoping that everybody that's listening to this message understands and believes what we're trying to relate to them, because it's coming from our heart, and I don't want to see anybody fail and not get to paradise.
Amen. That could probably be our last word on the subject here tonight. Part our message has been about hidden words in the Bible, and we just try to point out some of the things, beginning with the Garden of Eden. We started with this series in a Garden of Eden, and we wound up here in the last book of Revelation. If you want to make it to heaven, you'll have to go into the city with His name in your forehead. And the only way you can get that name is to repent and be baptized in His name for the remission of sin. Not Lord, not God, not Jehovah, not Jesus, or not Word, or any other name that you can throw into the equation. The only name that's acceptable is the original name that He told Moses, I am that I am. I'm the causative verb to be. I am Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. I am Yahweh. Come and enter in, and let's agree together that if you will turn to me and turn your sins toward me, and then go to the water, let a good Holy Ghost fill preacher man remit your sins in the name of Yahweh, then Yahweh's promised you a beautiful transition. Even when you die or when you're translated, if you tarry till He comes, you're going to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. If you go on before He comes, you're going to come back with Him, because those who sleep will not prevent them from coming, because He'll bring them with Him. So, Yahweh bless you is our prayer. Now, I'd like to give your mailing address at this time. You can mail me, that's Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee. Isn't that a beautiful name for a city? Sweetwater. And Yahweh has placed us right here in the beautiful countryside of Sweetwater, Tennessee, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip 37874. Beautiful place. We've got our calendars. We've got the tracks. If you'd like to have the track on the name, we'll send you a couple of tracks on the name. If you'd like to have them, just write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee. I'll be glad to send them out to you. Now, if you would like to have our website, Brother Bob has been having some technical difficulties with his computer, one of them, and he will have his computer back. I think he's got it in the shop, and I don't know what he's done. Maybe he's had to jack another one up and run a new one under it. But Bob doesn't give up. When he gets after something, he will complete the job. He's almost up to date with, except this live series, he's having trouble posting because of the lack of the equipment available. It will be done in a few days, and we will be up to speed again. If you'd like to go to our website, that's www.oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. Now, this is not a small website. It'll take you a good maybe 6 months or longer to read it, if you wish to read every word that's posted there. Some of the things you may agree with and some you may not. Things that you disagree with, just put it up on the shelf and turn it over to Yahweh. instead show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be shamed, right dividing the word of truth, and go up on our website. You may find something to your liking. We got hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of downloadable messages. This has took Bob hundreds, if not perhaps thousands and maybe ten thousands of hours, part he's put in. Posting these, loading them. It takes a long time. I've done it myself. I'm telling you, it's monotonous. It's painstaking, and yet he deemed it worthwhile for posterity to develop some unique original things that we came out with our ministry, and we offer anybody a $10,000 reward where that you can find anyone that kept the Sabbath any other day than 8:15, 22, or 29, and there might be some more surprises up there. You might read an article that Christ was not a Jew. That may be surprising to somebody, but it's chock full of scriptures that will indicate that Christ was not a Jew. So, if you would like to call me tonight now, I'm live around the world on WWRB 3.185. So, why don't you just call us up and tell us here tonight what you think about the truth. The truth's forever settled, nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away. And that'll be 423-351-1082. Call me up. That's 423-351-1082. We'll see you tomorrow night. We'll be in here tomorrow night with a brand new series. You don't want to miss it. We'll send you greetings of love on the Love Line, WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel, with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Me and Brother Parks saying good night to you here.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
The hairs on your arm will stand up. At the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup? Or disappear into the potter's ground? When the man comes around.
Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big gun run. Voice is calling, voice is crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come.
Are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crown. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still.